thank you so much, Cynthia. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many months till the election? It seems like too many. I had an uncle who was a political junkie. He just loved politics. And he was involved in his local politics. He would have been right in the middle of all this political banter that's going on, and he would have followed it in the newspapers. And he was also a very fine Christian man, and he believed that no one could be a Christian and not be a member of his particular political party. He honestly believed that. And he was shocked and horrified when he found out that my mother was a card-carrying person of that other political party. And he knew that she was a fine Christian. So then he had to rethink his philosophy. So he acknowledged that maybe there were Christians in the other party, but they had to be deluded. And they were misguided. Now, I understand that when candidates start to pontificate and start talking about their faith, that that's perfectly all right. I get a little squeamish when they start to quote scripture. Now, it's okay if they're talking about their personal lives, but if they're quoting scripture to say that the reason they won a particular contest was because God was on their side and answered their prayers, I have a problem with that. I have a problem anytime we use scripture to twist around to our own understanding, to the point where we feel that, you know, God is on our side against somebody else. Because if we read this passage carefully, even the devil quotes scripture. Probably knows it better than us. And we see that in the temptations of Jesus. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was there for 40 days and he hadn't eaten and he was famished and he was vulnerable and weak, we wonder why he did that. I'll get to that later. Why would you purposefully go into a wilderness experience? None of us go there willingly, but he went willingly. And he's in the wilderness, and then he's tempted. And each time he's tempted, he used scripture. And the scripture he used was not to focus on him, but to focus on God. So every time the devil asked him, why don't you do this? And Jesus said no and gave him a scripture verse. So then the tactic changed. And he said, well, you know, the scripture says, why don't you throw yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple? Because in Psalm 91, it says the angels will come and bear you up so that you don't even stub your toe. Now, anybody who read that would never have taken it literally. We don't take poetry and metaphor literally. I'm sure after that was written, people didn't go around throwing themselves off of buildings to see if it was true. It's a metaphor. It's talking about God's care. They also didn't step on serpents to see if they were bitten, they'd live. We don't do those kinds of things. But this was a very insidious temptation. Because what it was asking Jesus to do, if he threw himself off the building and the angels of God came, instead of the Savior of the world, we would have had a superhero. Just put a cape on him. He's indestructible. And that's not why Jesus came, to be a superhero and to be indestructible. Jesus came to live our life, to feel the things we feel, to walk in the wilderness with us, to help us to see the face of God when we're the most vulnerable and down and not strong, when we're angry, when we're weak, when we're tired, when we're hungry and thirsty. It would have been so much easier for him to be the superhero than the savior of the world. Superheroes are indestructible. The savior of the world came to die and to experience our life. I kind of like, as a pastor, sometimes to be a superhero. I really like it. I especially liked it when I was in the Bronx and in PG County. I always went around with a collar, because when you went around with a collar, you stood out. And there were several times, I had shared with my Bible study on Friday, that there were several times where I would go with a client to social services, and I'd always wear my clerical collar. And every time I did, it was like magic. I'd walk in with the client, and this person, rather than being invisible, people would be kind and courteous and help them out, and we'd talk and have a wonderful visit, and they get their needs met. Oh, it's great being a superhero. But one time I decided to go in with a friend to social services without the collar. In fact, I walked in my jeans and was dressed very casually, and I noticed a huge difference. The people behind the counter were not respectful. They didn't care. The weariness of their job shone on their faces. I couldn't quite blame them, the civil servants that were there, because I knew someone who worked there who was given a job. He said, you know, Pastor, at one time there were 100 people employed by social services. Now we have 30 doing the same work that 100 did. And so they were overworked and overtired and didn't want to be there, and it showed. And myself and the person who was with me were invisible. And I thought, I really don't like that. So, of course, the next time I accompanied someone, I put my superhero shirt on so that I would stand out. But Jesus didn't do that. He walked into a wilderness where he was isolated and alone, where he was hungry. He walked our life, and any time he used the power of God, it was for someone else and not for him. And he understands what the wilderness is all about. And every time we face our darkness, every time we face isolation and angst, we know that one went before us and loved us so much that he stripped himself of everything to do that with us. When I was a child and in a church setting, our church didn't do Lent. They didn't understand Lent. We went from the wise men visiting to Palm Sunday to Easter, and Good Friday was the Easter cantata. Nobody wanted to do Lent. We didn't want to suffer. Didn't want to talk about all that Debbie Downer stuff. You want to be high all the time. You want to be praising all the time. You want everything to be upbeat. So why do churches like mine do Lent? I believe we do it because we know that life, in all its variety, hands us wilderness experiences. And we want to remind ourselves that the God of all creation, the God of joy, the God of praise, the God of peace, is also the God that takes us through the wilderness. So the next time we are isolated, and the next time we're in a wilderness of illness or economic deprivation or whatever our wilderness happens to be, there's a God who loves us beyond all telling, who instead of turning the wilderness into a bakery or throwing himself off a pinnacle so everybody could see the superhero, chose to walk through the wilderness and does so today with us. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that your grace and mercy extends to us at our lowest. That if there is someone here today who has sensed the wilderness experience and who's in the throes of isolation and weakness, I ask that your peace once again will be upon them, that you will take their hand and journey as we do through Lent. We ask that your peace would be upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen.